Hi, I'm Mike Gaswitz. Welcome to another episode of In Focus. Today we're going to talk about the financial sector, get an update from that perspective, and joining me today is Lee Grimshaw, our portfolio manager responsible for this sector. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you, Michael.
Great to have you on. So let's talk about the financial sector from a business perspective. How did it do in the last quarter?
Yeah, so the right now there's a bit of a tale of two cities that is going on with respect to the financial sector, and the tale of two cities are U.S. financials versus sort of Canadian financials. And what you're seeing in the States is a much more robust economy, and so the financial sector isn't showing or indicating the same amounts of sort of very slight, not massively to be worried about, but stress that the Canadian sectors. And we spotted this, I'd say about 6 or 7 months ago, and we've been pivoting a little bit more towards the U.S. exposure for that very reason. And what you're seeing in Canada, as an example, is much more bigger credit loss provisions. And that's a function of the stress that they're seeing in the mortgage market that we all know. There's this mortgage wall that's of renewals that is coming up, and the banks are preparing for the worst. And so that has led to a sector that's falling behind a little bit when you compare it to the States.
Do we see, I think we've seen, although, you read all the pundits in terms of what's going on with interest rates, Bank of Canada has been dialing it down now, starting the downward trend, and the rumor is the Fed will follow, but they've been still dragging their feet a little bit. Has that had a repercussion at all?
Well, I wouldn't say just quite yet it hasn't. Okay. I think the mortgage market and the housing market is still sort of languishing in Canada. There is a view that Bank of Canada is going to potentially accelerate on a probability basis based on the option market, that the interest rate cuts could increase to 50 basis points in October. I think it went from 30 to 40%. So that's not a certainty by any stretch of the imagination, but it's something to sort of look out for. And the tone from the Bank of Canada has definitely changed. So it hasn't quite hit yet, but I think you're going to see some positive repercussions, I'd say over the next 6 months, because I think you'll see potentially an acceleration at that stage.
And that's, we've talked about this before when interest rates went up, and now in the other direction, because you think, okay, if interest rates are going down, on mortgage renewals, will their earnings may suffer, but then the economy may start to pick up. So, is it abundantly clear what the final repercussions could be?
Yeah, so there's two elements to that. Initially, a reduction in interest rates will actually be positive for the Canadian banks as a result of the fact of their book of loans or revenue generating assets is locked in at a certain rate, whereas the costs will come down more quickly because they do a great job of managing that. And so initially the profitability will be better. That will be offset, to your point, with respect to any sort of anemic GDP growth. But I don't think there's a sense that there's going to be a recession here shortly. So I think in the short term, it's positive. And then the question becomes, how low does it go? And so if it goes extremely low, then I think we're back to a place that we were a few years ago. If it just is more medium interruption of the rates, then I think it'll be a bit of a, I don't want to call it a Goldilocks scenario, but I think there'll be a nice world reversal from a return perspective.
Okay, great. Good background. Okay, so let's talk about our businesses, our core picks. And I think I chatted before the show in terms of one of the core picks, TD has been in the news. Money laundering perspective, I believe, in the U.S. Talk to us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I guess a week and a half ago, TD reported its first quarterly loss in 21 years. So it was fairly significant. Now, the good news is they're operating as a bank in a standard fashion, and the operations, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the operations other than this AML structural sort of reporting issue that they've got going on. And I say reporting because there was clearly a lapse in the infrastructure reporting that they had in their institution. And there was obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but there was personnel problems, more importantly. And so the loss totaled about $2.5 billion U.S., or I should say the fine, the most recent reserve and provision that was indicated was another $2.5 billion U.S., and that's on top of another sort of $500 billion U.S. that was taken several months ago. And so that leads the total loss in Canadian dollars to almost $4 billion. So that's pretty significant. And so the question is, how significant is that? That's probably the second highest fine in the history of banks in the U.S., Wells Fargo being the biggest one in the history of the U.S., which was, about 10 years ago at this stage, and that was $8 billion. So it's pretty significant at this stage. Now, the good news is that's only about 1 year of profit for the U.S. division. So it's definitely manageable, but there's a bunch of knock-on effects that we can discuss with respect to other issues that the regulators might take.
All right, Lee. So first of all, AML is anti-money laundering. So this is really, like you said, it's the regulator coming down and saying some of the controls, as you say, some of the personnel, sounds like they honestly dropped the ball from a process perspective. So, So what's our view on this? Obviously, we were fans of TD, and so what's our take on this?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So the final shoe to drop, and I guess the company is reporting that they will have sort of the final say from the regulators by the end of the year that they're going to disclose. There's a number of repercussions that could happen, and so really three from their perspective. One is really the fine that, for the most part, will take the point that we think management has provided a good estimate for that number. Two, the bigger one is the potentially what they call a consent order, and that's a cap on asset growth, and that's what they did with Wells Fargo, and those can last for quite some time, and they can last up to 10 years. So that could be fairly significant. But we'll get into valuation in a second, and we'll talk about that. And then the other sort of shoe to drop for them that they've already started acknowledging is that they've got to improve systems, and that's going to be a fairly substantial expense of about $800 million bucks a year, not forever, but initially anyways. And so the market seems to be baking in about a $10 billion loss in totality. And so how do you get to a $10 billion number? And that's Canadian dollars. So you think about $4 billion US, about $6 billion worth of costs that are associated with that. And that leads you to a market loss of about $10 billion. Now, $10 billion is in context of a market cap of about $140 billion. So let's call it 7% of their market cap. So it's not really the end of the world from that perspective, depending on how long this consent order is potentially going to be. And I think everybody thinks there's going to be a consent order. The question is, how long is it going to stick? And so with a 4-5% dividend yield, you can recapture some of that value fairly quickly. What's more interesting about the situation is really when you get to a sum of the parts and the details of the company, and when you break apart the valuation of TD, you get to a point where at this stage the market is implying that the U.S. business has actually got a lost value or a negative value, and so we don't believe that because they make about $4.8 billion a year in Canadian. That was the last, I guess, 12 months prior to this noise that's gone on over the past couple of quarters. And so, if you take, say, even 4.8 minus sort of $800 million and ongoing remediation costs, and you apply a 10 or a 9 multiple, $36 to $40 billion, that's a big gap from the perspective of the company's situation. So we think it's sort of on sale at this stage, but I think there's got to be a lot of clouds that have to dissipate to really get a feel for whether or not we want to continue to add or I guess divest of the position. And at this stage, we're in a soft hold position, so we're not adding to the position, but we're definitely not in a wholesale sale unless the portfolio manager feels that the situation warrants more attention from a client perspective, a client-specific situation perspective.
Yeah, that's good context because you hear, you know, penalties in the billions and hundreds of millions in terms of system costs, but you have to put it in the context of the size of the overall enterprise. So it's good to keep it in perspective. So sounds like we're very much in a watch and see kind of mode.
So the other thing to think about as well is that unlike a Wells Fargo situation, the U.S., while important, is still only about 30% of the profitability of the U.S. division. So, even in, you know, probably the worst case scenario, that we could see is that they turn around and want to divest of the U.S. division, which is entirely not without historical precedent. If you look at HSBC as an example, they ended up divesting of their U.S. exposure for that very reason, for the same issue. But I don't think they had near the success and breadth of and profitability that TD has in the U.S. because they've actually built quite a good franchise in the U.S. and probably the most successful, barring this particular issue up until now, were the most successful at creating a U.S. Division, certainly from a profitability perspective.
So let's look at, so it's good to understand the business aspect. So from a markets perspective, the financial sector overall, how did the markets react?
So again, the sector has been, for the Canadian banks, has been trading sideways because of the credit loss provisions, whereas the U.S. has been a bit more robust given the economic picture in the States. And so, we think that's going to continue for probably another 6 months, but we think we're getting close to the bottom from a Canadian financial perspective, from a return perspective. And we think once we turn the corner on this rate scenario and the mortgage renewals, we think there's certainly bluer skies ahead for the Canadian sector.
And we were talking about TD. What did we see from there, from a market reaction to all that happened with TD?
Yeah, so they've been a laggard in the group, but not a huge laggard. So the one-year price return was negative 1.56%. So in fact, with the dividend, you would have been ahead on a one-year price return perspective. And then the two-year price return, again, is slightly more negative. But again, with the dividend yield, you would have been a positive returner. So, depending on how big a position TD is within your specific portfolio or the client's specific portfolio, they wouldn't have fared too badly at the end of the day. But certainly something to pay attention to.
Okay, Lee, good information. And so thanks for this.
Okay, thank you.
Folks, as always, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to chat with your financial advisor at your CPA firm, talk to your portfolio manager, or don't hesitate to reach out to myself. Take care.